This is an interview with Rose D'Amico for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project, Smoky Hollow, by Joseph Mancini at 105 Upland, Youngstown, Ohio, on October 11th, 1990, at 7:35 p.m. Okay, first of all, can you tell me a little about yourself, where you were born, where you grew up, and the your birthday and the schooling you've had, just to start off?
I was born at 718 North Walnut Street, which is about a block and a half away, what we call the cement wall. Right now they're using it for parking lots for Youngstown College students. The houses have been demolished, and the only standing one is a cement house where I later had my oldest daughter born. And that was at 707 North Walnut Street, across from 718. At that time, it seemed like the post office was having a hard time with the numbers of the houses. And two or three times, our addresses were changed. Then Carol was born in 1941, and we lived what we call the community circle. My mother was across the street in the house where I originally was born, and I bought the house on the other side. At that time, these were two cement houses that were Trust Constable experimental homes. And when you saw them being torn down for Youngstown College, you could understand why. There wasn't a wooden beam in the whole building. Everything was still lath. And they had a terrible time taking these down. Then, as the years went by, in 1951, there was a grocery store on the corner. I bought that. And in Smoky Hollow, in our section of it, was almost all your Slovenian and almost all of them were members of St. Cyril Methodius Church. We belonged to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. We, after a while, became about four Italian families in that one block. And that included the Tericas, the Nunziatas, myself, the D'Amicos, and there was a lady there that at that time, today people would have cringed at her, but she saved a lot of girls in trouble during the war. She was the midwife of the neighborhood. And these were all girls that worked out at General Motors at that time. I forgot what it was. But their husbands were in the service, and they were fooling around, and Mrs. Dingen was her name. She has since died. She was a Romanian woman. She took care of everybody in the hollow. She was our next door neighbor, and we could see them coming and going. It was really something at that time.
What did your parents do for a living?
My father worked down on the railroad tracks with Goldberg Produce, and at that time he didn't read or write, and he was lucky to have a labor job. At that time it was depression, and we lived on the old vegetables and stuff that they cleaned out of the produce boxcars down on Front Street. That's what our foreign people did. Uh-huh. And quite a few of them were Italian people that we knew. This was the extent of their education. And he raised a family of four girls. And he was a good, loving father, but he was dedicated to his garden and to his fig trees in the fall where they buried them.
Yeah.
And this was a ritual with people in the hollow, and when you got those trees and you got your figs, if there was 10 figs on that tree, every kumite in the neighborhood got 2 figs. That's the way they did with the figs. But that's the way the hollow was. And on Sunday morning, we walked from Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church, and everybody had their doors open, and you could smell the sauce in Walnut Street coming all the way from Summit Avenue. Everybody made macaroni sauce that day.
On Sunday.
On Sunday morning.
What do you think made the hollow such a unique place to live. I mean, you can look at the hall now, what it's like now, but back then when you lived there, what made it so unique in a place?
It was so unique because you could walk into anybody's house at 11:30 or 11:45, and they would sit down and eat with us. It was a family neighborhood. Everybody loved everybody. I don't care who it was. Mm-hmm. You shared everything. I remember across the street where the Nunziata is, and the mailman used to get a big kick out of about 10 o'clock or 10:30. He would come by, and I'd come out on the porch, and I'd yell to Anthony across the street, "The pot's hot," and everybody came out, and we had coffee. That's the way it was.
Yeah. Was there any problems with that? I mean, people coming in and out of houses.
No, remember? We never had a problem. And you were never, I remember our girls, when it would be so warm, we would put the comforts on the porch. And they would sleep on the porch, and everybody in the neighborhood would come up, and we had everybody's kids sleep on our porch. And it was a great time. And it was nothing if you knew the circus was coming in town for me to call all the neighbors. I was the only one that had a car. And by 3 o'clock in the morning, all the kids had their pajamas on. And they would have a dookie, what we call sandwiches. We call a dookie. And we would go and watch the circus come in. I believe it was Mahoning Avenue. We would park the car on Mahoning Avenue, and I'd take all the kids. 3 o'clock in the morning, you were not afraid to do a thing.
Wow.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And every one of those kids still have fond memories of that, because nobody does any of these things anymore.
No, it was like that for your whole, the whole life span you lived down there?
Yeah.
Like that?
Oh, yeah. No, we always shared. Anything we did, we shared.
Uh-huh.
If it was fun thing or sadness, we shared it.
That's interesting, because you really don't see that anymore.
No. No, but we shared everything. But we had people that were outstanding in the neighborhood, like I said about this Mrs. Ding, and everybody knew her as a wonderful woman.
Mm-hmm.
People pointed out people that they did for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nothing for them to call and say, "I made extra pasta fazool. Come and get it." Today, they call it a gourmet dish. At that time, it was a poor man's dish.
Yeah, that's right.
But at that time, when you say meat, I don't think too many of us ever knew what more than two or three pork chops would be. If you had a family of five people, you bought two or three pork chops, that was it.
Uh-huh.
And you shared. Everybody shared everything.
So what was it? So basically, is that just during the Depression, was that, or was it after?
It was a poor neighborhood throughout our growing up days.
Throughout the whole.
I can't say it was a rich neighborhood. I can't say that and be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of, everybody came out of it. You take the boys, the Nunziata boys, there were four of them, and they have all become lawyers. Three of them are lawyers. And one works with, not internal revenue, but with the arson and narcotic squad.
Mm-hmm.
He's with them.
Can you describe what your house looked like physically, like inside and outside?
Inside, we were thrilled when we had graphite on our window ledges, because that meant the mill was working. Do you know what graphite is?
The soot would come down?
It was the red soot.
Oh, yeah?
And we called it the red rain. And we were happy to see that on our window ledges outside on your porch. My mother had black enamel. There was nothing for the women to paint or to wallpaper.
Uh-huh.
Because you couldn't afford to hire anybody.
Yeah. That's, how about the inside part? I mean,
the inside?
The physical, how it looked. And
it was always nice and clean, but we washed walls every 3 weeks.
Because of the soot.
Because of the dirt and the soot. And we had coal furnaces.
Uh-huh.
You did not have, I have no problem here because I never had to worry about gas furnace. I mean, you never have soot.
Uh-huh.
You never had dirt, but we were grateful for it because it meant the men were working.
Uh-huh. Was it a typical house compared to all the, I mean, was your house a typical house compared to the other people's that, you know, lived
in? Yeah, we had the three rooms downstairs. You had your parlor. You had your large dining room, and you had a nice-sized kitchen. You had one bath, and you were lucky if you had a shower in the basement. If you didn't have a shower in the basement, you used an old hose and made your shower.
That's no kidding.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
You didn't have all these luxuries.
Yeah. You may have already touched on this a little bit, but what about the quality of life? You talked about, you know,
The quality of life was great. I remember one woman in Oak Park having a baby, and her husband had died. And I couldn't stand it. So I called all my friends. We got together and we had a baby shower. And this baby now is about 45 or 50 years old. And when I told her who I was, she said, "You know, my mother told me the story, how you got all my diapers and everything together." But I couldn't stand it. This woman had nobody to help her. And the same way when, you shouldn't even say you're being prejudiced, but when Chester Media was running on the school board, and somebody made the remark to me, "There's no room on the school board for an Italian." Well, that got me excited. So I called Antoinette Nunziata, and we went through the whole hall, touching every door. And if you met Chester Media today, he will tell you about what we did for him.
You guys got him elected?
We got him elected. We got him elected, and don't tell me there's no room for an Italian. He was a smart man. I didn't know him from a bag of beans.
Yeah.
But I knew he needed help. And in the hall, you had all foreign-speaking people.
Uh-huh.
Especially when you came to Carlton Street, Adams Street, Oak Park, there are an awful lot of Slovaks. Uh-huh. Like I say, they all belong to St. Cyril's. And they were very strict in their religion. They all went to St. Cyril's school.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, the cost of Catholic school was high. We couldn't afford it. Our kids all went to Madison, Hayes, and Rayon.
Uh-huh.
And we walked.
Yeah.
Rain or shine, we walked.
Yeah.
I remember my girlfriend had a book of stamps. At that time, you bought a book of bus tickets. But she wanted to walk, and she walked in the heaviest snow of 1934. Got pneumonia, almost died, because she sold her tickets and wanted to walk to school with us.
No kidding.
That's Don Conti's wife.
Oh.
She sold all her school tickets, and she ended up sick as a dog. But we graduated.
Yeah.
We graduated.
Was this feeling of, like, helping each other, was that general throughout the whole, all the people?
Yes.
Nobody really...
No. I remember every Labor Day, we would go down the street, Mrs. Carlini had bushels and bushels of tomatoes, and we'd go down and help her to can tomatoes, because it was fun to be with everybody. We loved being part of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody felt like that.
That's interesting. That's
unusual.
It is.
It is unusual.
Let's see. What were the general occupations of most of the people that lived down there?
The mill.
And mostly everybody worked in the mill.
And if you got a job at the GF, you were lucky. Everybody got somebody in. Everybody had a kumba.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody had help to get in the GF. The GF was the place to get into.
Mm-hmm.
But, Bert was on the railroad.
Bert being your husband.
Bert, yeah, my husband Bert was on the railroad, and he first originally worked at Toth's. John Toth was at the end of Walnut Street Hill, below the railroad tracks, and he was working in the grocery department at that time. In 1936, he was making $22.50 a week, and that's what we got married on.
Wow.
$22.50 a week.
Then you didn't work at the time?
No, at that time, no. You couldn't get a job. I didn't want to work.
Yeah.
I liked my life.
Did you work during the war?
No. Never worked. I liked to knit and crochet, and I did stuff, and I had kids that would come to the house, and I'd teach them how to knit and everything, but we didn't do anything for money.
Uh-huh.
It was never a money proposition. I did a lot of sewing. I remember how poor we were that I took my mother's cellar curtains down and made a blouse out of them.
No kidding. Sort of like Gone with the Wind, right?
Oh, yeah, we did. This is the way life was, and we didn't know any different. We didn't feel underprivileged.
Uh-huh.
And it was nothing for us if somebody in a better financial state in the world to give us hand-me-downs. We didn't mind. Today, kids would shudder if you said it.
Yeah.
But at that time, it didn't bother any of us. And we were four girls growing up, and I being the oldest, and my sister Lucille was born, let's see, I was born in 1916, and Lucille was born in 1924. That's how much age difference were. There was four of us girls in that period of time. And there was no such thing as having a dryer. You helped to carry everything out on Monday morning, those sheets and pillowcases, you hung them on the line.
No comforts of today.
No, you had nothing, no luxuries, no luxuries. And you scrubbed the floor on your hands and knees. But you didn't have the nice linoleum floors like we used.
You talked a little bit about the ethnic backgrounds of the people, and how, can you discuss a little bit how well they got along, or if there were ever any conflicts between the differences?
There was never any differences, and I learned, we lived in a Jewish neighborhood besides, and I learned to speak Jewish, German Jewish with them. And I remember when we bought the store, it was nothing for me to be able to talk to the Jewish customers as they came in and ask them what they wanted in Westvillensee. That means, what do you want?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this is the way it was. You knew which ones were only going to buy one egg or two eggs. They didn't buy a dozen eggs.
Uh-huh.
They bought one egg at a time, two eggs at a time, because they didn't have money.
Okay.
That's the way it was.
This store, did you give a lot of credit? I heard that. At those stores down there, they gave a lot of credit. And
that's why I lost $10,000 in 6 months. I did. $10,000 is 6 months.
From giving credit.
Well, sure. Those people were poor.
Mm-hmm.
They owed me $5,000. I borrowed $5,000. That made $10,000.
Yeah.
When you got through, you were lucky. And of course, Bert hated grocery work because his mother had a store all her life. And at that time, he was caddying at the country club, making 75 cents a day. He took it home to his mother, and that was carrying two bags at a time, 18 holes, and he was given a quarter.
Wow.
That's how they got along. And nobody thought different of it.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That's amazing.
And what they did for excitement is they would have a handful of pennies, and they'd pitch pennies up against the building. And that's how they had excitement.
Wow. So there was really no conflict between...
No conflict. And then Harrison Field, where all the boys hung out, is where Youngstown College now has their practice field.
It's the intramural field now, I think. Yeah.
Right, or something. Yeah. It's where the band
is.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
All right. That was where all the nice-looking boys were, and we would make sure we went by there every night. That was across the street from Cassace.
Yeah.
And the boys would whistle, da-da, 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 and if they didn't do that, we would feel like we didn't strike anybody's eye.
Did you only meet your husband?
No, I met my husband. I knew my husband all my life, but we started going together dancing at the Elms Ballroom, and that's where everybody in the hall went. To the end, because we could walk it. And we walked up through Wick Oval. Do you know where Wick Oval is? All right, our house was right below there, and there was a stairway that went up in through there, and we'd come home at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning through Wick Oval. Never be afraid.
No kidding.
Our house was right below there. And we'd know if my mother's light was on, they were waiting for us. Yeah.
With a grin on your face.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting. What ways do you think the Hollow prepared you for, like, how you live now, or gave you certain values? Or
The Hollow prepared me to love everybody. When I see them, I get so excited. I went up to Akron last week on Sunday and met Carol and my girlfriend Martha Tomesco, who lived on Kirtland and went to St. Cyril's, and her mother thought the Italian girls up the street were bad examples for her daughter. She wouldn't let her daughter go out too much. I saw Martha in Akron last week. We talked for a whole solid hour. She did it all because she was just as excited as I was, so I couldn't get a word in. And she said all she could remember is her mother saying, you can't go out tonight unless you go up to Rose Palomar's house. She was allowed to come up there because we were four girls. We had some very nice Jewish neighbors, very nice Jewish neighbors. The only thing was, they couldn't cook bacon or anything at any time in their house, any kind of pork, so they'd bring it up to our house and cook it. And their bubba, which means grandmother, never knew that they ate pork.
No kidding, they...
And when it was their holiday, in the Jewish holiday in the hollow, you did not light your own stove or oven or furnace. And my father would go on Friday night for a quarter. He lit everything for them, did everything for them. They weren't allowed to do that. That was against their religion. And you did not wash dishes. If you did, you used no soap. You washed in clear water. And you, in their religion, they had two sets of dishes. One was called a milchika and the other was fleshika. That means meat dishes or milk dishes. You do not mix the two of them. Now that was another thing in the hollow. We had an awful lot of Jewish neighbors. And you learned that when you went into their homes. If you were going to have a glass of milk, you daresn't have a meat sandwich. You don't mix those two.
Uh-huh.
And I think today they still go through that, the ones that are real religious.
It's interesting you talk, you know a lot about the Jewish life down there. Do you think that the Jewish people took anything from your Italian ethnicity and remember any of it? Or, I mean, was it an equal kind of a thing?
Oh, sure.
Did they understand your theory?
Oh,
I mean, your,
they respected us.
Respected each
they
other.
They respected our religion and we respected theirs. And the biggest thrill we got was Hanukkah. Passover now, I think it was Passover. All the stores were closed, and they lived down in Oak Park, which is off of Walnut Street there, in Kirtland, and they wore the most beautiful clothes. And everything was, at that time you had fall colors, brown, dark green, black, and purple. They were dressed gorgeous, and we couldn't wait till they went to shul, which means church, S-H-U-L. That's shul is their church. And we couldn't wait till about 1 o'clock, and they would come by our house, and we'd wait to see what all of them had on, and they wore beautiful clothes.
Yeah.
It was a colorful time growing up.
Did in these ethnic backgrounds, was there any group that was had a higher economic status than any other group?
If they did, we never recognized
it. Never recognized it.
We never made them feel different. And I learned how to play bridge with the Jewish women because they always needed a fourth. And I was the only one that they could ever haul in. I hated it, but I enjoyed it. I learned a lot from them. They were good to me.
Mm-hmm.
When I would have to go out with Bert, it was nothing for this particular Jewish woman. Her name was Anna Bean, B-E-E-N, and the whole family has died of cancer. The father, the mother, the sister was a doctor, and there are two grandchildren that are in Cleveland. Their name is Reisman, and they, oh no, they're Furtmans. Reisman's are the other daughter, but they're doctors in Cleveland today. I don't know if I would ever see them recognize me.
Yeah.
But their family, if I needed to go out with Bert and they wanted me to be dressed up, they would give me, loan me a dress with the price tags on it. They were wonderful, generous people.
Wow.
Just beautiful people.
That respect that you had down there in the hollow for each other now, have you taken that out to up here?
Has it carried over?
Has it
yes.
carried over? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, when I see my old friends from the hollow, I saw one of Carol's the other day. Her mother was the most beautiful redhead of Bunyales. And everything I learned, making Italian cookies, sewing, those women taught me. They were very generous with whatever they had to give of themselves. They were wonderful.
You talk about names too. Was there any name changing, like to help you get jobs, like make your name less ethnic?
No.
Everybody really nobody shortened their names or.
No, my sister was Rojinski, and her husband, when she met him, he went by Rogers, but when they got married, it was Rojinski, and it continued to be Rojinski.
Uh-huh.
Chance is Henry, Uncle Henry.
Yeah.
And D'Amico stayed D'Amico. The only thing was spelling was different when we got married. His father, coming from Italy, had a D-O-M-I-C-O because the teachers didn't know any different, but it was D-Amico. Huh. D, it means the friend.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they changed the one gravestone to D, capital A-M-I-C-O.
But well, how about throughout the hall? Did you ever hear of anybody changing your names? Or
not
remember?
That I know of.
No.
The only one I know of, and he doesn't belong to the hollow. He has one name, and his mother and father have another, Jack Campbell.
But there was no shortening to help you get a job? Or
No. That was the only person I ever knew to change a name.
Is it possible to compare the hollow, where when you live there now, to where you live now on the north side of Youngstown? Can you compare and make any comparisons or contrasts to it?
The only comparison I make is I miss the neighborhoods. I miss people going by your house and yelling, "Hey, Rose, what are you doing in there?"
Yeah.
I miss that.
Uh-huh.
But outside of that, I'm so busy, I can't say I miss a thing.
How about at the time when you lived at Hollow, was there any other area around in the Youngstown area that was considered like the Hollow? Like I heard that there were other areas that had the same
Briar Hill.
Would have the same kind of.
But we all went
community.
To school together. To this day, we're great friends. That if you say, "Did you miss your friendships or anything like that?" We're greater friends now from going to school together.
Mm-hmm.
I see a girl at the beauty shop at Nancy's on Tuesday. She and I graduated together. We hug and kiss all the time. Yet in school, we weren't that great. But now it's such a thrill to see her. And like this girl I met in Akron last week, they're all girls that graduated in 1934. And I can tell you a lot of boys, and you take Don Roselli, we graduated. Well, his brother, Hack Roselli, really graduated. I think Don graduated in 35. But we were all, it was nothing for us to walk down the hill and go up Scott Street with our lunches wrapped in newspaper, and you had no wax paper then,
mm-hmm.
and they had pepper sandwiches, and all the grease would be coming out. By the time we got to Rain School, now that's 3 miles. We cut across Wick Park and went down Ohio Avenue. By the time we got to Rain School, those sandwiches were wrapped with string and they were soaked. But everybody wanted those sandwiches.
Yeah.
Everybody loved our pepper sandwiches.
So you can sort of compare Briar Hill to the same kind of
community
feeling.
Oh, definitely. They were all the same group of people in Briar Hill as there were, and they're all very close to each other yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I talked to a girl today, and I asked her if she went to a certain funeral. She said, "Oh, my God, yes, Rose." She says, "We all grew up together." And that's the way the people in Briar Hill feel. We grew up together.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
I mean, you take young people today.
Yeah.
Nobody says that.
No, you really don't hear that.
You don't hear that.
No. It was an interesting area. Interesting area. While you were living down there, how do you think that people that didn't live in that area viewed the residents of the Smoky Hollow, like economically, were they a lower class or?
They felt we were beneath them.
Did they?
Oh, I'm sure they did. But you know, they did not have the fun with their children growing up, because I can remember it was nothing for we'd get through with our dishes in the evening and everybody would say, "We're going over to Palomar's and do our homework."
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it was. Everybody gathered to do homework together. We weren't always the smartest kids.
So you think that people that didn't live there viewed you as a lesser class of?
Right.
How did that make you, the people down there, feel?
It doesn't bother me. It never bothered me.
No. Do you think it bothered other people that live down there, your friends, or?
No, we're still good friends.
I mean, did it bother your friends in any way? Do you remember hearing any instances?
I don't think so, because they did exactly what I did. If we went to the Elms, they came to the Elms. If we went just window shopping, we went window shopping.
Uh-huh.
That was our Sunday afternoon, to go window shopping. That was what we did. There was no television or radio or football game. Well, first of all, us girls were stupid. We should have learned how to like football then, and we would have followed the boys.
How do you feel about the Smoky Hollow today?
I get excited. I drive down there twice a week sometimes.
Do you?
Oh, sure.
Well, how kind of feeling, how does it make you feel to see some of the houses gone?
My house is still there.
Oh, is it really?
Ours is the only one down on that end of Walnut Street.
No kidding.
It's that cement house, the yellow cement house, sand colored.
How's it make you feel driving by there?
I can't imagine living in there. I went back there once. I used to wash that rug. It was a tone gray rug every 2 or 3 weeks. And I have newspaper all over. You can walk in my house because that's how dirty everything got.
Uh-huh. Wow. But there's no... Do you have any feelings toward being able to live?
I can't imagine living there. I had claustrophobia. When I walked in that house, I wanted to run. I couldn't imagine living there.
What role did the church play in life down in the hall? Whether it was, you know, the Catholic Church or the
yeah.
You talked about the Jewish synagogue
well,
a little
the
bit.
Jewish synagogue was on top of the hill, and us kids, every time we would go to confession on Saturday, we'd go by the Jewish synagogue, and we'd close our mouth real tight and run, because we didn't know what was coming at us, or we'd open the door, they had swinging doors, and we'd scream in there. We were terrible. But they were nice people. They were good to us.
How about the Catholic Church?
The Catholic Church, well, I have to say this. I started so young with it, just helping out and cleaning and doing altars. And by the time I turned around, I found myself teaching all the classes at one time.
Which classes?
From the first grade up to... to confirmation.
This is catechism?
Catechism on Sunday morning, and people would say to me, shh, don't talk so loud. But I was talking over the organ, over the choir, and over a priest that was hard of hearing. And this was all your catechism groups together. And I remember I saw the boy a month ago. He has now a big band in the South. And I said to me, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you ever get me that touchdown?
What was that?
He came to catechism. He was going to make his first communion, and he wanted to be excused. He did get there on time. This is Dr. DePiro's son. He now has a band in the South. I think he was near where Elvis Presley was.
Nashville.
Near Nashville. Nashville. He married a Jewish girl. And I saw him about a month ago. Father Fabrizio's party, I think it was, and I said to him, I want to know, did you ever get me that touchdown? I said to him, you'll be allowed to be excused, he was playing football, if you get me a touchdown.
No kidding.
And
was it for high school? Or?
I was high school. And I said to him, if you get me a touchdown, you can be excused. And the way I taught the children, and the nuns said to me later, was, Rose, you had a wonderful idea. I said, you're too technical. I says, play football with them. I was teaching them the Ten Commandments. You give Joe Mancini the ball and tell him to carry it down. What's the first commandment? And by the time we got through, each kid wanted to know that commandment. And that football game was played.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, I said, you've got to talk to them street talk.
Uh-huh.
You can't make it so technical they're afraid of everything that they do.
Did most of the people, the kids that went there live down in the hall? Was this Mount Carmel?
Mount Carmel. Okay. And they were Albert Street children.
Uh-huh.
These side kids, Smoky Hollow, all the hollow, all down in the Willard Street,
uh-huh.
Elk Street, all those streets is where everybody came from.
Those were the kids that took your class, huh?
Oh,
do you see any of them anymore today?
Oh, yeah. I saw a boy the other day. I saw a girl the other day. She said, Rose, you don't remember me. Everybody says it to me like that. You don't remember me. And I said, well, she said, you were my teacher. She is now the head nurse at St. E's, and her name is Mary Lou. She was a Pelley. P-E-L-L-E-Y. At Carbon. Mary Lou Carbon. And she is the head of, well, she took everybody's blood pressure. She does all that kind of work. But she was from the hall. She told her mother, she says, Mom, if Rose D'Amico claps right now, I'll genuflect. She said, every time she clapped, we genuflected, and we didn't go. And if they were coming down the aisle in church, they'd dare some go off that aisle.
Yeah, you had them, huh?
I felt like this one guy said to me. He said, Rose D'Amico, do you remember me? And I said, no. He says, these are my two sons. I almost died. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. Nobody has learned catechism like you taught us. Well, I taught them that when they came in God's house, and you have the holy water font, do you know what a holy water font is for?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
That's where you dip your hand in, right?
You dip your hand in, but it was because the peasants and the, they came out of the pasture, out of the fields, and they were dirty. And they washed themselves.
Okay.
You never came in God's house unless you were clean. And when you walk down the aisle in church and you look up and you see that white dove up there, what is that? That's the Holy Ghost.
Huh.
Everything in there is for a reason.
In Mount Carmel.
Any church.
Oh, any church?
Any church.
Huh.
You've got to look for them. They're starting to motivate and move things around.
Yeah.
But when you came into church, there was something for everything.
Huh. That's interesting.
And Father, I had laughed because Father Quigley was talking the other day, and a couple of things he said. I said to him, Father, why are we not, when they ring the chimes, saying, "Oh Lord, my Jesus"?
Mm-hmm.
They don't do this anymore.
Yeah.
But you see, the children have lost so much of the church.
Uh huh. It was strong in the hall.
Very much. It was strong. And if you didn't go to church on Sunday, your whole family suffered because everybody looked at you like you were a nothing.
No kidding.
Everybody
Wow.
went to church. Some kind of church.
Yeah.
Some kind of church.
Did you see any other churches that were
the
strong?
Lutheran, yes, Lutheran. The Lutheran churches were strong. On Saturday morning, those children went to the Lutheran church, especially the boys. I remember them going to church.
Mm-hmm. How about them? Any Orthodox or Greek Orthodox or?
Not too many Greek Orthodox in there.
Or
no.
Russian Orthodox? Or?
No, there weren't too many there.
No.
But we did have the Greek Orthodox church on top of Walnut Street Hill, and it's still there today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's strong with very wealthy Greek people.
Did the churches have a lot of functions down in the hall? Did they do a lot of social things down in the hall? Or did you usually
no,
have to go
there
out
was
to the churches?
No, there was a Duca della Bruce on Summit Avenue. It was an Italian lodge.
Uh-huh.
In fact, Saturday night they will have the Columbus Day Banquet, and a lot of people will be going to that, and it originated with the Duca della Bruce.
Uh-huh. So a lot of the functions happened in there?
On Summit Avenue across from Our Lady of Mount Carmel Church, there was the hall.
So that's, okay, that's, whatever that's at. So what kind of things did they do in there?
Well, that's been torn down. It's a parking lot now, but now tonight they're having a steak fry. And, Saturday night they'll have the Columbus Day Banquet, and they will name the Man of the Year and the Lady of the Year.
From the hall?
Dom Salino, years ago, was from the east side.
Uh-huh.
Was not Bar Hill, but Albert Street. And Dom Salino is the detective. We call him Big Dom.
Big Dom.
Yeah, and the girl is Alice Rossi. She was from Cassius Avenue at one time. She's
back when you lived in the hall. Did it the functions? Did they go? I mean, did they do things?
No,
like that. Or
no.
Down for you when you lived there?
No.
I mean, not now. Considering Mount Carmel now, but back when you lived in the hall, there wasn't too many. Functions.
You didn't do too many things that kept you out after 9 o'clock at night.
Really?
No. The only thing is, if there was a big dance on Sunday night, we all went.
Yeah.
And
was
that
it church.
That could have been the church dance, and it might have been a dollar.
Uh-huh.
If it were a dollar, it was a lot of money.
Were there any other inner hall of functions, like at parties or picnics, that just the people
no,
from the hall organized,
mostly,
or 4th of July?
No,
or
not really.
No? Uh-huh. It was all family?
It was all family. We went on a lot of family picnics, but we ended up like 5 or 6 cars, and we would end up at Geneva.
Mm-hmm.
We would get all our kumadas and everybody together, and we ended up at Geneva.
Mm-hmm.
And we would all cook the night before. It was such a ritual to cook your eggplant and your chicken and all that and get everything ready.
Yeah.
That everybody got together. This was a togetherness.
Uh-huh. This is mainly family, but were there a lot of times when other different groups of people got together? And like in Harrison Field, was there any picnics?
No.
Or?
No. Hello. From home, please. Though Bert isn't here, tell me. I'm sorry. That's from Pete, the
Pete.
Kid.
D'Amico.
No, or Pete Oancia.
Oh, I don't know.
You know Pete that lives out of the nursing home.
Oh, okay. Okay, where was I? Where were you? Where was I?
We were talking about functions.
Functions, okay, yeah.
No, not really.
Holiday functions, Christmas, or, you know, parties?
Not really. Bert played Santa Claus out of our store when we had the grocery store. Bert played Santa Claus for maybe 40 years, 30 years, 30 years.
You would play Santa? And
we
kids
would
come and...
No.
Oh.
I would sit down and make out a list.
Uh-huh.
And I would go from the Joy Green's house, LeBate, Amy LeBate, all my Kumas. He has a gorgeous Santa Claus outfit, but uh-huh. I won't let anybody see it because I don't want to loan it out. We paid a lot of money for that during the Depression.
Uh-huh.
And I would start buying gifts, and he would have little coloring books and stuff, or maybe the parents would leave them outside the door. But Bert played Santa Claus for 420 rooms at St. Elizabeth's Hospital for many years.
Wow.
And we were in the hollow when we started to do that. And the gray ladies at St. Elizabeth's Hospital would furnish the oranges. And we had to be careful. They couldn't have candy for any diabetic or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell this story about a family that Santa Claus went into the room, and he came, we were coming down Belmont Avenue. We were living here now. By the time we got here, he was soaking wet. By the time he played Santa Claus for 420 patients, by the noon hour, he would have to take the pillow and the ladies would dry it in the dryers.
Soaked, sweat.
Sweat. Then we came home, and 2 days later he said to me, "Bro," he said, "there's a lady that's bothering me. She is not going home. She told him, Santa Claus, I won't be going home." She had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Would he listen to her? So he asked her what her name was and everything. He talked quite a while about her. So we came home 2 days later, as I said. I started to call the hospital, trying to find out who this patient was. And we found out she was on the second floor, next to a window. And the telephone operators found out who the family was. They called me back, and we had Santa Claus get a doll for the girl. She was 4 years old. We got a toy for the boy. He was, I think, 8 years old. We got a tie for the husband. I don't remember what else we got.
This is for the family?
We got for the family, and Santa Claus brought it to this lady. We had everything wrapped for her. I got everything wrapped, all her pretty bows and everything in.
Mm-hmm.
She died in March. Mm. I can't tell you who she was. She was from Hubbard. But do you know the family called us?
No kidding. Wow.
And they wanted Santa Claus there.
Huh.
We went there and you could hear the buzzing. This boy has to be a father now.
Wow.
And they...
It's got to make you feel good.
We walked in that room and you could hear them saying, "Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus." They had passed the word around the family because they never knew who Santa Claus was without his beard.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Wow.
That was interesting. That was a fun thing, you know? That was a fun thing. We made somebody really happy that day. Yeah.
You talk about some of the things you did, like with Santa Claus for recreation and going up to Geneva. Was there like a typical thing that you did like every weekend? You talk about the dances. Was that typical for most
It was
of the-
typical if it was a... See, we didn't have football games and stuff like
uh-huh.
you have... Now you can't say boo to Bert on Sunday because there's so many... football games, but I mean at that time, picnics was they were our big thing.
Uh-huh. That was just for weekends when.
That was the weekend, and we started Saturday afternoon. We'd get on the phone and call each girl, the head of each house, like Nancy Green's mother, me, Amy, Sylvia, Adele, all these families, and we'd go up maybe five or six cars.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny how we would stop the pilgrimage because some of the fathers had drank too much beer and had to go back in the barn somewhere. And every one of these cars would stop. It was comical.
That's great.
But we have good memories.
Uh-huh. Wow.
But see, there's nothing left like this.
No. That's interesting. That was there things that you did during the weekdays for recreation, or just weekends? With everybody was working, or night shifts, or like during the week and nights?
There weren't too many things you did.
No,
because everything was. See, today it's different. Today you don't say that I'm going to make a big dinner for supper. You know, supper hour.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to make a 3-course meal. At that time, we made supper. It was a day you planned. I'd say to one of the girls, what are you cooking today?
Uh-huh.
Maybe all of us would make soup that day.
Yeah.
Because we passed the word around. And that's the way it was. Everybody did what everybody else did. It was fun.
That's interesting. I got to flip this thing. So staying on the recreation buttons. Staying on the recreation. Were the sports played like in the field? Like you talked about Harrison Field. Like,
well,
did you guys just go watch? Like, was there like pickup games of the guys?
Yeah. They would pick up games with different clubs. I remember the Simi Club playing with the Arco Club, playing with the Harrison Golden Eagle Boys,
mm-hmm.
and they would have games.
I read about a Russo's Tavern that had a softball team.
That was up on Glenwood Avenue.
Uh-huh. And a lot of people from the Hollow played on that?
Well, Steve Russo owned it, and he was married to a girl from the Hollow.
Oh, I see.
That's how that was.
So they all got together down the Hollow, and did they ever play? At Harrison Field they played?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you used to go watch?
Oh, sure, we went to watch. They were all the boys we liked.
Did your husband play?
No.
No.
He was East Side.
Oh, he was. He isn't from the Hollow?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's from Albert's section.
Now, you had two daughters that were born down the Hollow, and they grew up down there about 15 years, would you say, maybe, at the most? Carol?
We moved out of there when Nancy was 15 years old.
Uh-huh.
Well, we built the house in 56.
So, the reason I'm asking this is, what do you think? They lived the majority of their life out of the Hollow, but what kind of things do you think they, like values they pulled from the Hollow and growing up?
They pulled the same values we did. They love their old friends. They love the old time cooking. They love things that, they love family style.
Mm-hmm.
They love family things. They really do.
Do you think that...
It rubbed off.
Do you think it rubbed off? Is your family...
It rubbed off.
Uh-huh.
It rubbed off. They love anything to do with relatives. They just don't have the time for it. If they did have the time for it, they would force me to do more than I do.
If you were to like take one word values that they might have gained, such as, you know, some of the things, just a simple...
The values they gained from living there is friendship.
Friendship.
Friendship and family life.
Family. That's
family.
It's really important to them.
Oh, yes. Very important to both my girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they have instilled, I think, an awful lot in their children.
That's good.
The family life.
Were there any unaccepted people down there? This is getting back to some things we talked about earlier.
Not really.
No. There was never any race or...
No, there was nobody that we were afraid of. There was they called a bum that lived up in the field. The kids would run when they called him Bearcat, but he was harmless. But at that time, the young girls would run. Oh, God. Poor guy didn't do anything wrong to anybody. We had what they called a haunted house. There was a house that was moved from Wick Avenue down to the Hollow. And it must have had about 30 rooms in it because there was three different apartments there. And I remember standing for one of the girls in there. And right now they own the ice house on East High. Do you know where that's at? There's an ice house up there. DiTullio is the name. Do you know that name?
Is he the guy that took care of the memorial? DiTullio?
No, that... Rosen. I know. No. They're no relation. But this was the haunted house, and there were three different apartments. Well, the story we got as we were growing up, this house was moved from Wick Avenue down to Walnut Street at the bend of the hill. There was a bend of the hill we called Maple Avenue. Mm-hmm. And this house, when you go by there, you run like heck because you're always afraid the spirits would come out. And the story was that the woman that owned the house was a very wealthy woman up on Wick Avenue. I can't remember the name. But she was supposed to have pushed her maid out of the attic window.
Wow.
And that was a story we got when we were growing up. And the rooms were huge. And I remember during the Depression, I stood for this girl's confirmation. In fact, the family just called me not long ago to tell me she's in a wheelchair. And I remember when you confirmed anybody, you had a big dinner, you know. Mm-hmm. And at that time it was Bussa Buzzle. And you sat around the table and everybody was happy. And that's the way it was. No stuffed turkey and no...
Yeah, it was just pasta azul, huh?
And you were...
Happy.
Oh, sure. In fact, when I saw this DiTullio boy, he said, I don't know whether you know it, but your kumarel is in a wheelchair. I had to think who that was because I think I was just first married and I must have been 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of, you talk about confirmations, was it always, a lot of people confirmed each other within the hollow?
Within each other's families too, yes. Uh-huh. And you borrowed the dresses because everybody couldn't buy a new dress. Uh-huh. Oh yes, you borrowed a dress. But that was it, and you did have to get confirmed. That was a necessity in any hollow family, Slovak, Italian, or whatever you were. But you got your confirmation, you made your first communion, even if you had to borrow all the clothes. Mm-hmm.
So you lived down there from that time until you moved out, which...
I was born in 1916, and I moved out in 56.
What era do you think, or decade, do you think was the most enjoyable? Living down there, the most. Which one do you have the most? Like it was the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. You know.
Oh, I think the 40s.
40s.
I mean, that was wartime, but it was everybody was with each other, and everybody. If you got a letter from the boy in the service, maybe everybody would write a letter or a paragraph. It was always a fun thing. You always helped each other out.
Uh huh. So the 40s, did a lot of people get together to help the war effort and. Collect, you know, rubber and steel and...
I don't remember that too much, no, because, like I said, that was not a woman's world.
Oh, okay.
I think I was the only woman that drove. I remember Bert loaning me a Model T Ford saying I could drive it that day. If I got a flat tire, I'd have to fix it. And I got a flat tire that day. And my father, we put cement blocks under those wheels to change that tire.
No kid.
Mm-hmm. But I was the only one, my girls will tell you, I was the only one that ever drove.
Were you like the community taxi? Did you
yeah.
drive people around?
Yeah, it was a fun thing.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And I remember during the war, and they had a strike down at the mill, my husband was on the police force then, mm-hmm. in the mill, and oh my gosh, you had all these Union men, and it was a Sunday morning, and Carol and Nancy were sitting in the car, and I drove down across the Center Street Bridge to throw a newspaper over, and I threw pepperoni and salami and stuff over. Well, I was followed home that day, and I was petrified. I thought they were going to bomb our house.
What? That was during a strike?
Yeah.
During a little steel strike?
Right.
What happened? Yeah. You got involved in that?
All I did was go down and bring the newspaper.
Uh-huh.
And I flipped it over the bridge. And Bert was a policeman. And that was around 38 or 30. Or, no, it had to be my girl's car. I remember Carol standing up in the car.
Uh-huh. Was your husband, he was a policeman? And
he was a policeman. First he was a policeman, then he was a railroader.
Uh-huh.
But he hated working for anybody.
Yeah.
He hated the store. He hated all that. He wanted to be his own boss.
Did the union have a strong influence in the people that lived there, the workers, the men? I mean, was it really union-oriented?
I don't know. We didn't talk about it.
Oh, yeah?
We didn't talk about it. We were afraid.
Afraid of the unions?
Sure.
How about
I remember during the First World War, I heard my parents talking. This has to be 1922, 23, something like that. And my uncle was living with us, who was my mother's brother. We were on Walnut Street, and they followed my uncle home. He was a socialist. He was with the...
Right after World War One.
Yeah. And I remember my father, we were so afraid to go to bed at night. We thought that they would do something to us.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Oh yeah, that was very interesting.
Did he live down in the hall?
He lived with us.
Oh.
And he was everybody integrated. Everybody lived with their relatives because nobody had money.
Uh-huh. And he was a socialist.
And he would get paid, I forgot what he did, but he had a straw hat. You know those round straw hats? Lucky straw hat.
Yeah.
We used to do that. Lucky straw hat. And Uncle Phil would come down along the stone wall, and if it was payday, all the kids knew they were going to get an ice cream cone. Uncle Phil took care of everybody.
Oh.
He was a very gentle. This is my mother's brother. He was a Catalan.
Mm-hmm.
He went by Catlin. The people in Canada, all the Catalans, changed their original name is Catalin, C-A-T-O-L-I-N-I. And Father Frank used to say, Catalina. And my uncle went by Catlin. And the ones in Canada, all the relatives are Catlin. But they originated on Oak Street, which went into the hall.
Uh-huh. Now, getting back to the unions, were the parents, the fathers or husbands ever worried about strikes, and did you know about it? Or
we never knew too much about it. Kids that were never included in that kind of a conversation at that time.
Uh-huh. So your father worked in the mill?
Not my father.
No, your
never,
father?
My father never worked in a mill.
No. Was there any time a fear, like of strikes down, because the majority of the people did work in the mills? There was a strike.
We were always worried when my husband worked in the mill.
Uh-huh.
We were worried about a strike. He stayed in the mill, I think, six weeks. He stayed in the mill, never came home.
Bert.
Uh-huh.
6 weeks, he never left.
I think that's how long he stayed. I'm not sure about that, but I think it was quite a while.
Holy cow! Mm-hmm. Was a strike? Was there a strike on? Was there anything about like union busters or scabs that they worry about?
Oh, sure. That's why Bert was there with a gun. He was afraid to use it, though. He never used it.
He used to have a gun when he went to work.
And then when he was a policeman in the mill, after the strike, and he would have to patrol the area, and he'd look in there and he'd see all his friends sleeping on the 3-11 shift, he'd say, I can't turn them in. So he was called in on the carpet, and he was told he'd never make a policeman because he couldn't turn anybody in. All his friends, he said, their kids kept them up all night. How can I turn them in?
Yeah.
That's the way he felt.
Uh-huh. What mill did he work for?
Republic Steel.
Mm-hmm. Was it a variation throughout the people that lived down there, worked at Republic or Sheet and Tube? Or
everybody. The biggest thing, if you worked in the Sheet and Tube, you were high on the ladder, then came down to Republic Steel.
Uh-huh.
But Sheet and Tube was a big thing at that time.
Yes. Okay.
But he started out with down at John Todd's.
Mm-hmm. Did people tend to marry within the hollow?
Yes.
Yeah. Why do you think that was?
The girls and the boys all ended up together.
It was all like a big friendship, and next thing you know, they're married.
Yeah, right.
Any mushouts?
And they met in Harrison Field. Oh, that Harrison Field had a pavilion, a little pavilion. You found them making love in that little pavilion. That's where they were. I gotta get a clean air. Oh, that's where they were at, in that little pavilion.
You didn't marry within the hollow?
No.
No.
I could have. Because I knew him all my life.
Yeah.
But it was funny. You knew we were related.
Did you have any boyfriends, a lot of boyfriends from down there?
My mother didn't talk to us for 6 months. Because she said, you had to marry your cousin. And you had all those boyfriends. And it's funny, they all went to East High, and they all played center on the East High football team. Two of them played center on the Rand team. I used to have a ball.
Oh, yeah.
I went to every football game, and I would, especially when it was a Rand and East game, oh, I had a good time.
Huh. Yeah. Now, you married your cousin, his first cousin? Yeah. That's all right. You'll have to answer that. That's okay.
Yes.
Yes. That's, well, you said cousin. I didn't know.
His mother and my father were brother and sister.
Wow.
And my mother didn't talk to us. My mother was raised in a Catholic orphanage down in Pittsburgh. She thought I was going to go to hell. And she doesn't realize, and when she was dying, all she did was call for Bert. He was wonderful to her.
Uh-huh. That's good.
We had her bed in the parlor. And Bert was great with her.
Mm-hmm. You talk about some of the well-known people in Youngstown that lived down there. How did you know him well? I know you mentioned Don Roselli and
Eddie Bartlow.
Eddie? Junior? Senior?
Senior.
Did you know him?
Sure we did. He was from the Hollow. Uh-huh. And Don Roselli, Hack Roselli, of course the Ferraris, but they had the Macaulay Funeral Home now.
Uh-huh.
And
did you know Pat Ungaro?
Sure. Pat grew up in my parlor. He was a bashful boy. We used to fix his dates for him. I'll tell you that. And Louis Santangelo, Vince Santangelo, became the fire chief or fire engine or whatever. I don't know what he was.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Conti, Carl Nunziata.
Some of those names you mentioned, I recognize their names from research that they had. They used to have a mayor. They used to elect a mayor from La Hollow.
Bert was the first one that spoke there at the monument. He was the first mayor. I don't know whether he was mayor at that time, whatever it was, he gave the first speech.
Uh-huh.
At the monument at the top of the hill.
Yeah. They used to elect a mayor, though, each year, an honorary mayor.
Well, Francis Santor's mayor is the president of the Golden Eagle, the way it is now.
And what is the Golden Eagles?
The Golden Eagles are a group of boys that grew up in Smoky Hollow and played baseball together, mostly.
Uh-huh. It's just a club, like a gang?
It's a club. It's a gang, and it started out hanging around MVR. Casasis.
Uh-huh.
Across the street in front of Harrison Field, there's a building in the back.
Uh-huh.
It was a duplex, a house. And that's where they had their club meetings.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of some other important boys that grew up down there. But we had nice boys that grew up there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Mr. Paul has a big bakery. He grew up in Oak Park.
Cool.
He's from the Hollow, originally.
Uh-huh. Why do you think the Hollow lost its uniqueness? You know, it's not. Is it the same?
More or less, people wanted their children to go to better schools. They went to Ursuline.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a family, when I suggested Ursuline to my girls, they said they didn't want it. Then when they wanted it, I couldn't afford it. That's what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way it was with school. Of course, at the time growing up, we had a wonderful relationship with our children.
Mm-hmm.
They were involved in everything at school. They were involved in, Carol was involved in everything, Y team. She was citywide queen. That was exciting.
Uh-huh.
We all went to that. Of course, Carol didn't know she was going to be queen that night, and we all knew it. We went out there, and Nancy, you saw the pictures.
I probably have.
Nancy sobbing her head off. We had a good time. Nancy was head majorette at the time she was in high school. And there wasn't, in fact, I came across the coach, Robinette. He was a coach at Rand School. And I remember him saying I used to go up there and sit with my dog. I had a little black and white, there's a picture of it there, a black and white chihuahua.
Uh-huh.
And I would go up at 4 o'clock and watch the boys practice out. At that time, Carol was going with Ben Reale.
Uh-huh.
Do you know the name Reality?
Yeah.
Well, she was Bill Reality's nephew.
Okay.
She was going with Ben, and Robinette, the coach, football coach at Rain School, says, does that lady have anybody that's on this team? They said, no, her daughter dates the boys. I used to go up and watch them. I'd be all by myself. So I saw Robinette 2 weeks ago at the dinner for Jim
Vicarelli.
And I said, hello, Mr. Robinette. I said, do you remember me? He says, I sure do. You sat next to the tunnel when the boys came through. You yelled at all of them. No, I would yell, chin strap, chin strap. And they were all slobbered on, but the little kids loved them. So every time I got a chin strap for somebody, they were so happy.
Oh, yeah.
These big football players were giving me their old dirty chin strap, and I took them.
That's great.
And we never missed a game. If we had to go and make a tunnel and it was snowing, we were soaked. But we made a tent.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the tunnel, there was a rail.
This is at Rain?
At Rain. And we went to every football game. And I didn't have anybody playing. But I was there.
Uh-huh. This is when your daughters were in school?
Yeah.
Were you living there when I-680 came through? Or when they built the freeway that sort of split? Were you living there then?
No, Harlem.
Yeah, no.
No.
No, not at all. So
that was a prayer that our parents had, hoping they would take our property and go up Walnut Street and across Scott Street to up there where the funeral parlor is.
Okay.
That's what they thought was going to happen, but they never took it. But the parents in the hollow thought their property was valuable.
Uh-huh. And your property wasn't taken?
No. Mine's still there. That house that I was born in was sold for $1,800. $1,800.
Hmm. When did your parents pass away? Were they living
down
there?
No. My mother lived here when she died in 63.
Mm-hmm.
My father died in 56. We moved in this house in November of 56. He died in June of 56.
Down in the hollow?
Here.
And he died here?
He died in the hollow.
Did
he died in the hollow. Yeah, you know, he was still there. We moved in November. The first Thanksgiving we had was here.
Did you sell the property or the house? Did you sell the house?
Yeah. I sold the house for $4,200. The man is still in it.
Wow. 1956 that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you leave the hollow?
The kids wanted to continue to go to Rand. And everybody was moving out. It was a natural thing to do.
Why do you think they were moving out?
To better themselves?
Better themselves. Mm-hmm. When they moved out, did the property, how was the feelings about, you know, everybody moving? Was it a slow process?
There was no thought. The only thought was, am I going to have enough money to buy carpeting? Am I going to have enough money to buy drapes? At that time, you charged and had a big charge bill, or you didn't get them.
Huh.
We didn't have money for all these things.
When the people moved out, did they move? Did they go their own way? And you just did anybody ever like move really far away out of the area, or a lot of people just moved to suburbs?
No, most of ours are segregated in this nucleus.
North Side.
Yeah, but.
What was the farthest somebody moved, you remember? Anybody move out of like the California? Or?
No.
No?
Well, my nephew's in California. Yeah, he was Walnut Street. He was born there. The other one's in Cincinnati. He was born on Walnut Street.
Uh-huh.
Aunt and Nunziata's boys are in California. They're lawyer. Well, the one that we baptized and confirmed, he's a lawyer in California. He was born on Walnut Street. Most of us stayed in this Rand School District.
Mm-hmm. Keep your kids going to the same school.
Right.
Okay, I see. Mm-hmm. That's interesting that you stayed for the school reasons.
We stayed for the school at that time.
Do you keep in touch with a lot of your friends?
I try.
From the hall?
I try, and when we have a hollow reunion, I love it. If I have to be the only one there, I'd be the only one there.
And is there a reunion?
We have a reunion the second, third Wednesday of July. The women's group has a luncheon. This last year, we had it at the Wick Pollock Inn because we felt that was a boundary. Wick Oval was a boundary of Smoky Hollow.
What did you consider the boundaries of the Hollow? Wick Oval? On all sides?
Well, really and truly, it started with Wick Avenue, Scott Street, Andrews Avenue, and Rayan Avenue.
It was sort of encompassed right in that area?
Yeah, right.
Where the Juvenile Justice Center, is that considered where
Smoky Hollow? That was where the Bella Castor, Orsini, Terry Annis.
Uh-huh.
That was where her, part of their property in the back there.
Huh.
That belonged to her grandparents, part of that property in the back. I don't know if they owned that or not, but that was their field in the backyard. Hmm. We used to cut across there to go to Madison School. When you went to Madison School, Andrews Avenue had a streetcar tracks. Do you know where Andrews is?
Yeah.
All right, where Modern Builders is.
I don't think I know where that's at.
You know where the bend of the road is,
where the juvenile
goes up the hill to Maple Avenue, Scott Street. That was a streetcar track.
Oh, yeah?
And it went from Youngstown to Stop 18 in Sharon Line.
In PA? Sharon? Pennsylvania?
We call the Sharon Line is out here.
Oh.
Out Lansdowne.
Oh, okay.
And that streetcar crossing went from there. That's how the girls used to skip after the boys along those streetcar tracks.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. And then I think the Ohio Edison took that part of that land over. And before you know it, you had your... Am I saying this right? You had your telephone poles in there.
Mm-hmm.
And electric poles.
Oh, yeah.
Because an oak park went up over the ledge there.
Uh-huh. With that wall that's built along, what was that for? Is there a purpose for that wall that's built by the MVR that goes down? You said it's middle.
That's a cement block. That's what we call the cement, the wall. We used to say, if you pass the wall, then you'll find Paula Mara's house, because ours was the second house over.
Uh-huh. But the reason for that wall was just...
I don't remember. That was there before I grew up. Uh-huh. We were always afraid it was going to fall down.
Yeah, because it's leaning now.
But it's leaning, but it's leaned like that all its life.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say all its life, all I can remember is my uncle coming home along that wall.
Thinking it was going to come down.
Yeah.
It's like the leaning tower of Pisa.
Right,
in Smoky Hollow.
Right.
When you get together with your friends,
we reminisce.
Do you talk about the old times?
Oh,
and their
sure.
Feelings
we say,
about?
Or we'll say, did you see so-and-so? Boy, did she get old. And we say, well, what's the matter? You think we got younger, you know? But most of our generation, and I will say this with pride, that's over 70 years old, you wouldn't know it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether it's the different life everybody leads, but when I think of my grandmother, who died at about 69, she sat in the corner in a rocker. She would never in the world have worn shorts or wore slacks.
Mm-hmm.
And when she died, we made sure they had a blanket around her. Well, don't put a blanket around me because I want to look like I was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the difference. My grandmother, I can see her rocking in the rocker, and I'm sure she was about 69. She didn't live here. She lived in Akron. But she thought I was wild, and all I ever did was walk down the street and mail a letter at 6 o'clock at night, and she thought that was being wild.
Huh.
That was the difference in generations.
So you guys, when you guys do get together, you...
Oh, sure. We often talk, and especially when Labor Day came by. Now, we said, remember what we did years ago? We used to come to your house and do tomatoes. That was a ritual.
Yeah.
Then my father would get the grapes out. By that time, the grapes were ripe.
Making wine?
Well, you had to send it to all the kumas. You had to send some grapes.
Yeah.
Your crop.
Uh-huh. Did everybody have gardens?
Yes.
Is that a typical...
Is that for you?
I don't think so, no.
Sure.
Was that a way to supplement the...
Just fishing tomatoes.
Bird.
Yeah.
So everybody had gardens. Did everybody...
Don Ponte, I just dropped him off.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Should get a hold of him. Mm-hmm. Did everybody usually grow the same things?
Yes. A lot of tomatoes. They had a lot of squash.
Mm-hmm.
Zucchini. But zucchini became more... But zucchini became more popular as the time went.
Yeah.
And today it's almost a gourmet dish.
Yeah. Why do they call it Smoky Hollow?
Because the mills were around it and you got all the smoke from the mills.
Uh-huh. And there was another question somebody asked me to ask everybody is, how do they spell it? Is it S-M-O-K-Y or K-E-Y?
K-E-Y.
K-E-Y?
Smoky Hollow.
So it's not, somebody from the Vindicator said it's, it was like a big dispute on how do you spell Smoky Hollow.
S-M-O-K-E-Y.
E-Y.
H-O-L-L-O-W, and it was because we were down in the hollow.
Uh-huh. Was there a lot of crime? I mean, you talk
no.
about, what if there was, did everybody know about it? If, you know, if there was a robbery, or can you remember any instances where there was any crime? Or?
Not really.
No.
Not really. There was nothing at all to be afraid of.
Yeah. How about during the Depression? Was there any?
No. No, and if you made a penny on a newspaper. My father, during the Depression, had no job and we were on welfare. He would carry 2 bushel baskets about this big, and he'd wrap cording a newspaper around the handles. He'd slide it through. His arms became paralyzed. We would slide these baskets in. He would take at least four boxes of candy, 24 bars in them.
Uh-huh.
And he would sell them to the machine. Wick Avenue was full of machine shops.
Uh-huh.
And he would sell his candy and make a penny on a bar.
That was your father?
That was my father. And that was what he did in the hollow.
Huh.
People knew him. He had a wheelbarrow. It was nothing for my father to wait and pray that the milkman would come along with his horse.
Mm-hmm.
And the horse had diarrhea all the way along. And my father would fall that horse with a shovel and put that in the garden.
Oh, yeah?
That was fertilizer.
Wow.
And that was the fertilizer. And that's the way we lived. That was living.
What are some of your most memorable experiences, things that you can remember the most and most pleasant experiences from living?
Pleasant experience. I was going to tell you a sad one.
Well, I'll get that one later.
Oh, okay. No, this was an insurance man. This is how poor people were then. The insurance man, we lived with my parents for 5 years. And the insurance man came in, and my mother told him she didn't have money to pay her premium that day. He said to her, well, can't you ask, go across the street and ask the storekeeper, that was when the Jewish man had it, can't you ask him for the money? And I was peeling potatoes in the kitchen, and I came out with the knife in my hand, and I said, what did she tell you? Did she tell you she couldn't afford it? Then that's all you hear. She's not going to ask anybody else for the money.
Wow.
You know?
Uh-huh.
But that's the way things were.
Uh-huh.
It might have been $1.38 for the premium. But that's how poor the people were at home.
They used to come door to door to collect the bills.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. But the most pleasant, I will say, was when he played Santa Claus. We loved it.
Uh-huh.
We always had fun.
That's great.
And Santa Claus was great, and I'm sure to this day, I had a girl come to me not too long ago, said, don't you remember me? You were Santa Claus when I was a little girl. There were fond memories.
Uh-huh.
So we did, in our lifetime, we both liked the same things. So in our lifetime, we had fun.
Yeah.
Everybody can't say that.
Yeah.
Everybody can't say, oh, this was agreeable or that was agreeable. I had friends that their husbands, that people didn't know they were married because their husbands didn't like what they did.
Uh-huh.
And they spent the time sleeping on a chair. They didn't have fun.
Yeah.
Even if it didn't cost you money, we had fun. If we just went to Joe Mancini's baseball game, we had a fun. We loved
it. Those are always fun, aren't they?
Oh, we love all that.
If you could change anything about living down here, well,
in the hall?
Yeah.
I don't think I could have changed anything so much as I wish I could have done more for my mother and father.
Mm-hmm. What about life, like as in life down here? I mean, could you make it, I mean, if there are some things you could have changed to make it a little bit better, could you think of anything here?
I can't say we could have made it better because everybody was poor and we didn't know any better.
Uh-huh.
But we were lucky when we had gas in the car. That's the way it was.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to be like that again.
We hope not. What are some of your least memorable? The things that you really don't try to remember about the home? Is there anything that...
About the hollow. And like I say, the least things that I don't want to remember is that I couldn't do for my mother. I always wanted to do for my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she almost forced me to do things. I was the oldest. My sister sat in the background. They'd always say, let Rose do it. And that's the way I became what I am.
Uh-huh.
Rose will do it. And that was my life.
A lot of responsibility.
They pushed it on me.
Uh-huh.
And they pushed it on my husband.
Oh, yeah.
He was great. He moved into our house. And I had four sisters, and this is poor living. We had no bathroom. I bought a folding screen at the Salvation Army for, I think, $1.25, a folding screen. And I painted it green, a shade of green that we had in our kitchen. I had green curtains that I put on it. And it folded in three parts. We put it around the sink, and that's how we got a bath.
Hmm.
That was Saturday bath.
Was that once a week?
Well, I can't say that today. I remember, oh, Papa, don't turn over in your grave. I can remember my mother would put newspaper on the floor, and my mother would bring up a wash tub in the kitchen, fill it with hot water, and my father took his bath, and we all had to stay in the other room.
Huh.
That's the way it was.
That's not too pleasant of a...
But that's the way... My friends all had bathrooms. They had a nice toilet, nice bathroom.
Uh-huh.
We went down the cellar and we had a toilet in the cellar because we didn't have anything.
Uh-huh. Wow.
But that was growing up. Now there are people that will tell you, oh, not me, we had everything great. But we didn't have everything great.
Mm-hmm. So there were some differences.
Sure, we came out all right.
Oh, sure you did. And, well, it seems like you lived an interesting life down there. Is there anything you'd like to add that's about?
All I can say is everybody, when I met this girl the other day at Carol's, we hugged and we both started to cry. All I could say to her is, you had one of the most beautiful redheaded mothers. And she taught me how to sew, and she taught me how to bake. My mother was raised in a Catholic orphanage. My mother didn't know anything.
Hmm.
My mother didn't even know how to boil water. But that was the difference that she lived in. My mother was raised down in Pittsburgh, down at McKeesport. But that's the way it was. And then they talk about the young generation today. Her parents left four children in an orphanage and went their merry ways titly and married separate spouses. If they got divorced in those days, I won't be able to tell you.
Huh.
But that's life. And my mother ran away from the orphanage. It's just like a storybook. She used to babysit the kids down there. And she would hear the coal miners come in. The little girls, they were 14, 15 years old. The little girls would be petrified. They'd hear the doors slam. It was the coal miners coming in out of the cold. They had nowhere to go. And they'd come into the auditorium, sleep on the benches. And we would sit in my mother's parlor down on Wall Street, all my girlfriends, And my mother would tell all these stories.
Oh.
It was fun. We enjoyed it. We enjoyed it, and you know, to the day my grandmother died, my mother loved her dearly, yet she had forsaken her. So you know something? Everybody's life has a different moral. Her moral was her mother was her best friend. Yet she left her down.
Well, that's it. Anything else?